This is The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick, filling in for John Hockenberry. We thank you so much for listening. And in a few minutes, we'll take you to Montana, home of a chaotic and now violent special election for Congress. But we begin this hour in the Mediterranean waters off of North Africa, where lives are at stake and being lost. 34 migrants died on Wednesday making the dangerous journey from Libya to the Italian coast. Of those that died, most were toddlers, according to rescuers. In 2017 alone, more than 59,000 people have risked their lives to reach Europe. And of those that have attempted the journey on the high seas, an estimated 1,500 have drowned. The dire conditions have spawned a new phenomenon, rescue ships, many of them run by aid organizations, others under the command of Coast Guards, now patrol the waters between Libya and Italy, looking for boats loaded with refugees floating dangerously in the sea. Richard Hall is on one of those boats. He's Beirut correspondent with The World and The Global Post. And since May 9th, aside from a short layover in Malta, Hall has been aboard a ship called the Vasestia, run by the group Save the Children.
Most of the people coming on board are men, but we've just rescued, I'd say, more than a dozen women. Most of them arrived on board exhausted, tired, and collapsed as soon as they reached the deck. One woman had to be brought on board on a stretcher. She'd fainted in the lifeboat.
That's Richard moments after a recent rescue by the Vasestia in the Mediterranean. Then on Tuesday, the vessel rescued more than 600 migrants, their largest rescue to date, who were traveling from Libya across the sea. But hundreds and sometimes thousands of people are attempting the journey daily across the sea. And the burden on ships like the Vasestia is enormous. I spoke with Richard Hall from the ship.
So the first thing that happens is a call goes out on the radio to everyone on board. You'll hear a call sign, all stations, all stations.
All stations, all stations. There are approximately 130 people on board the first rubber boat, including one woman. The majority are men.
And everyone runs to their positions. They've trained for this moment for a long time beforehand, so everyone knows what they're doing. And then what will happen is two lifeboats are lowered down into the water and they will approach the boat in trouble. And on board they have a cultural mediator who speaks many languages because they don't often know where people are coming from. So this cultural mediator will be on the boat with the rescuers and they will call out to the people on the boat and they will tell them to be calm, that they will all be rescued, and kind of give them instructions. You'll hear them shouting in French, in Arabic, and in English. It's kind of a strange moment for them. Obviously, at this point, they're desperate to get off these small boats that they're put on, so many of them panic. So that cultural mediator is there to basically calm them down and assure them everything's going to be okay. And from that moment on, they take them in the boat at 12 at a time, and they transfer them to the ship here, the Vasestia.
The rescue's been quite calm at the moment. There's multiple boats out on the water. Everywhere we look, we can see more and more small boats appearing. We've got several hundred people on board, and we've still got our small fast boats out helping to stabilise the boats, as well as other ships in the area also helping to assist us with that.
Richard, you were talking there with Karen O'Neill, a Save the Children nurse on board the Vasestia. She said the rescue up to that point had been calm, but judging from other rescues we've seen, they can become pretty chaotic. We mentioned the tragedy on Wednesday where 34 people died, many of them small children. I would assume that in many of these cases, people wind up in the water floating.
That's right. That was the case on Tuesday, actually. I was present on a rescue the day before that tragedy you mentioned. And at one point, there were dozens of people in the water. The incident occurred after Libyan Coast Guard vessels came close to one of the migrant boats and fired warning shots in the air. And many, many migrants jumped from the boats into the water in a panic and tried to swim to one of the rescue ships. And there was also a case during that rescue where people fell off one of the migrant boats into the water in a panic. This happens a lot, and luckily, during this incident on Tuesday, there were three rescue ships in the area and lots of lifeboats in the water, and they were able to pick them out of the water in time. And it's also lucky that these people were given life jackets prior to them jumping in the water. So one of the first things that these lifeboats do when they approach a vessel in distress is to hand out life jackets. And if they had not got there in time and handed out those life jackets, it could have been very different, as the incident on Wednesday showed.
Okay. Can you please help me to translate with everyone? Okay? There are other people coming on board.
But you mentioned the Libyan Coast Guard approaching some of these boats, even firing shots near lifeboats. Why is the Libyan Coast Guard reacting in this way to rescue boats in the area?
There's a few reasons. The main reason is that the Libyan authorities are trying to assert control over their borders. They don't want people to come from all over Africa and even Asia. They don't want them to come to their borders. They're having a difficult time controlling their borders at the moment. Libya is in the midst of a very complicated civil war. And they're in the process of trying to assert control over their borders. It's difficult for them, obviously, with all the insecurity and chaos in the country at the moment. But there is a lot of tension at the moment between rescuers and the Libyan Coast Guard, as we saw on Tuesday with these incidents.
And so why do the NGO boats, like the one that you're on, and there are boats from other organizations as well, say that they need to get so close to the Libyan coast in a way that the Libyan Coast Guard finds threatening or encroaching?
Well, the rescue boats don't actually go into Libyan waters. What they'll do is there's a search and rescue zone, which is in international waters. That's around 13 nautical miles from the Libyan coast. So they don't enter Libyan waters. But their answer is simple. When you ask them that question, why do you go so close? It's because people would die if they weren't there.
All stations. We have sent one rib to assist Aquarius and Juventa with some rubber boats where people are in the water. After that, we will take one more boat.
The boats that smugglers are putting people on are just very unsafe. They're overloaded with people. If you can check out some of the pictures online of some of these boats, you'll see that people are sitting on the side of them, almost falling into the water. And they basically don't have the capacity to go very far. Many of them will just fall apart at the seams. Sometimes they're so overloaded that they just tip over. So yeah, the answer is very simple for the search and rescue operations and for the charities out here doing it, is that if they weren't there, more people would die. It's as simple as that.
People can check out plenty of photos on the Mediterranean taken by Richard Hall and others on the website of The World. Richard, who are the people who are on these lifeboats? Where do they come from and what kind of conditions are they fleeing?
It's a great variety, really. So a lot of people coming from sub-Saharan Africa. We rescued a boat on Tuesday that was full of people from Bangladesh. People are fleeing for all different reasons, really. There's people fleeing famine in parts of Africa, extreme poverty, conflict. It really is a mixed bag, and it's different every time.
Now, according to the United Nations High Commission for Refugees, there are refugees flowing largely from Nigeria, from Bangladesh, Cote d'Ivoire, lots of places in sub-Saharan Africa, as you mentioned, Senegal, Morocco. The ones that you're seeing from Libya aren't necessarily the same refugees that we've heard so much about since last year, flowing from the war in Syria through places like Greece into Europe. This seems like a different group.
That's right. The flow of Syrians has largely been halted after the closure of the route from Turkey to Greece. Now, last year, that was the most popular route, and you had tens of thousands of people, mostly Syrians, taking that short trip across the ocean from Turkey to Greece. Now, since that route has been closed down, this route from Libya to Italy has become the most popular route. There are far fewer Syrians traveling along this route. But it's important to note that this is also a much more dangerous route. So even though there are fewer people traveling across the Mediterranean this year, there's been a 30% increase in people taking the route from Libya to Italy. And this is the most dangerous route. And we're seeing about a similar number of deaths to last year, despite far fewer people traveling. So already this year, there have been more than 1,300 deaths at sea in the Mediterranean.
And you talk about this 30% increase on the Libya to Italy route, and that means that smugglers based in Libya are really stepping up their volume to try to make as much money as possible. And that also means they're probably not taking too many precautions with safety.
That's absolutely right. If you talk to some of the aid workers out here and the rescuers, they mention that the boats are filling up with more people than ever before. They're just completely overloaded. The smugglers are taking advantage of the insecurity in Libya to make as much money as possible. And that means just putting more and more people on unsafe boats and getting as much money from them as possible. And it's worth mentioning as well that the conditions in Libya are absolutely atrocious for migrants that are detained by the Libyan authorities. So they face danger at sea and on land as well.
Can you describe some of the conditions in those refugee camps in Libya?
So there have been a number of reports on this. The UN has called these migrant detention centres inhumane. They made a visit there earlier this year, and they've actually called for them to be shut down. There have been a number of reports of widespread sexual abuse, forced labour and torture in these detention centres. You'll often hear stories of people coming onto these boats that have been through so much in these detention centres, and they had no idea about how awful Libya was before they set off on their journey. Often they had no clue that they were going to go through so much.
Meanwhile, Richard, it also seems that many of the NGOs, like the one that you're traveling with, are facing political pressure in Italy, I assume from authorities there who don't like the fact that they're helping so many people to safety or to come to their shores, really.
That's right. There are some in Italy who oppose the charities and NGOs helping people at sea. But it's important to note as well that the Italian Coast Guard is also carrying out rescues. They stand a bit further back. They don't travel so far into international waters to carry out rescues. But they are rescuing hundreds, thousands of people from the sea. Now, the charities would say the same thing to the Italian Coast Guards and those who oppose their rescues as they do to the Libyan Coast Guard. And that is, if they don't rescue these people, they won't make it. For them, it's a simple question. It's a humanitarian response. It's either you allow these people to die at sea or you rescue them and bring them to Italy. Because taking them to Libya is not an option for the reasons previously discussed. The conditions are just awful there.
So, Richard Hall, what's next for the Vos Hestia?
So the Vos Hestia is currently full to the brim with people rescued from the sea. It was Save the Children's biggest rescue ever. We have 635 people on board, and they're filling every inch of the ship. They're normally just held on the deck, but now they're filling the bow of the ship and the sides. And we are currently passing Sicily on the way to a processing point in Italy. And the migrants will step off the ship, and they will be processed by the Italian authorities. Now, many will claim asylum and go through that process, and others may be returned to their countries of origin, depending on their situation.
Richard Hall, thank you, and be safe aboard that ship.
Thanks very much for having me.
Richard Hall is Beirut correspondent with The World and The Global Post on board the Vos Hestia.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.